Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Get a gun.
Evening and welcome to Slam Fire episode 566 on July 31st. I am going to be one of your new hosts, Dustin.
I'm Adriel.
There you are.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Kelly.
And Tony will join us in a bit here.
Yep. So welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, this is new. So I guess we start with intro, what we did with guns, according to the show notes.
Cool. Indeed.
Yep.
You get to pick since you're the host.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I will tell you what I did with guns in the last like 2 weeks, because I've actually just got back from camping the other day. But I did finally got to shoot the first bit of video for our Q Division like queer gun tube channel thing. Shot a whole bunch of stuff, which was an absolute blast. Literally shot some stuff and, you know, filmed a whole bunch of stuff with some friends. It was ridiculous. Got made a whole bunch of mess because we were shooting it at bulletproof targets, trying to protect eggs. Some of them succeeded, some of them didn't. I shot a hole in my table on the first round of the day.
Oh,
that's why you use those folding tables, right?
That's a good start.
I knew it was coming, and very first shot. Oh, there's a new hole. So that's about all I did with guns because I went camping. I guess after that, let's start with Adriel.
I did a private PAL course on Saturday. It went well. It was really good. I made a little bit of ammo, made a little bit of 9mm, and that's it. I've been doing like boring dad stuff. I got a rain tote, like a 1,000-liter rain tote set up with like an automatic rain diverter too. Cause it's been hot. My lawn is crunchy and my garden, and I just don't feel like using city water and, you know, paying for all that stuff. So
yeah,
hopefully I can collect a whole bunch of rainwater and use that instead. And this weekend, I don't know what I'm going to do this weekend. I might go to the range. I might not. I might go visit my parents. I might have to go for a motorbike trip. Who knows what will happen. But the weekend after that, I've got a double PAL course. So I know what I'm doing there. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yep. So not too much for me. How about you, Kelly?
I haven't been on in 2 weeks, so I've done a couple of things. So last week on Wednesday night, went out and did Skeet with Kelly Kincaid as well as Tamara. Tamara is somebody who's part of the women's executive for the CCFR. So we had a ladies' night out at the range. We were shooting Skeet. It's been a while. Yeah, it was interesting. Gun functioned well. I didn't. And yeah, it was fun. It was a fun night to have just shooting with the girls. The guys were there too, but we told them to go to another, you know, we were going to go and shoot by ourselves. And
how's your 28 gauge availability these days?
Really good.
Still on a bunch?
Yeah. Still got a bunch. 410 is what it's a little, you can't find that, but my 28 gauge I can find now. I bought cases of it when I was in Ottawa at Stittsville. They had a couple of cases that I bought. Mm. Yeah, so I still have some. The other thing that I've been doing is this past weekend, I went up to the Georgian Bay. Beautiful, incredible. If you've never been here in Ontario and driving up to the Georgian Bay, it was gorgeous. I went to Georgian Bay Anglers and Hunters Club on the Saturday and did a maple seed. It was stinking hot. Yes, it was in the 35s. Yeah, 35s. The next day we went to Huronia, which is Penetanguishene, which is about 15 minutes down the road. And it was also stinking hot. So it was about 35 degrees. But absolutely fun day. Lots of really good shooters that were on the line. And at Huronia, there was 4 or 5 people who had already, I think there was maybe 4, people who had already scored Rifleman before. So it was nice to actually see them come back. And they were a bunch of fun. Ton of fun on the shooting line. So we had youth, we had women shooting. It was lots of fun. It was Russ and I that were the only instructors for the day. So we had a lot of fun with the points of instruction as well. Got tired of hearing myself talk for a bit. We also had RSOs that volunteered for the club as well. So it made it super easy. Like, they cleared the line and they were super helpful. So we were very thankful for that. It was a good weekend. I loved it. Saw friends. Saw the beautiful Georgian Bay. Got up at 2 a.m. so that I could get there in time, and then got home at, midnight on Sunday. So it was a really long weekend, but it was fun. And we had great Mexican food on Saturday night. You know how great it is to go to the range for like 12 hours and then it'd be really, really hot and then go have Mexican food? We had, Coronas with lime in it, cold beer. It was good.
That's cold me. Beer on a hot day is really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
Kyle, what about you? What did you do?
I went to Roswell, shot their monthly match, and decided to shoot PCC.
Okay.
So it was a fun match. First stage, I ended up losing a trigger pin.
Oh.
Yeah. So screw came out of my anti-walking pin. And when I... At the start of the stage, I had it wouldn't fire after a couple shots. So, but racked around in, and it lasted the rest of the stage. And then the rest of the day, I just put a piece of tape on there from patch tape, and it held perfect the rest of the day. So
I've had that happen on my anti-walk pins to the point where I don't really like using anti-walk pins anymore because the screws all come out. They always come loose on me.
Gonna lie, that happened to me too with my PCC. I've lost a pin actually on a stage at a club match, so it's not that big of a deal. But I would suggest you check out you're running the Timney, correct?
The Timney trigger, yeah.
Right. I would recommend you check out the Strike Industry anti-rotation pins. Kind of clip onto each other.
Yeah, I had the anti-rotation pins.
So I'll recommend that. I've had that happen to me too. Actually, Bose was my trigger tech and the Timony. I haven't lost it with a Timony, but they're starting to walk even after I cranked on the set screw. But
yeah, I don't think it's a trigger thing. I think I got just put Loctite on the anti-walk screws themselves.
That'll do it.
Instead of making it easy to remove, just put some blue Loctite on there, and that it should do it.
Yep.
Then second stage. I mean, it's been a number of months since I picked this up. Apparently, I need to learn how to actually insert a mag. So it was an unloaded start, and so moved to a corner and threw a mag in. And as soon as I went to shoulder the PCC, mag hit the ground. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. I happen to have a spare one. Throw that in, rack it, nothing. Just click, rack it, nothing. Finally, hammer it in there, rack it. Was able to finish that section, but it was a 27-round stage, and that was a 27-round mag. So, dipped down, grabbed my 30-rounder, and mag changed to the second position, and finished it off. But besides, not knowing how to seat a mag and whatnot, actually turned out to be a pretty good stage for me.
So do you find you're getting spoiled down there, having full capacity, not carrying around 18 magazines on your body?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The decision, am I going to have a spare mag on my hip or not? Because I really don't need to reload.
Always take at least one extra.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
One. Yeah.
And every time I think about that, I think, I need at least one mag, one spare.
Just in case.
But they ended up, I love Hat Cam, but I got pick up the speed. I got to do something with the buffer. I don't like the recoil impulse on it. I don't feel like I'm as fast as I should be. Like, I'm not as fast in it as I am with my my AR. And, I mean, trigger weight's about twice as much, but, I mean, it's still only a pound and a half difference. But yeah, it'll come. Because I'm going to be leaning more on the PCC for the probably next couple of months, because there's PCC Nationals coming up. So I'm going to try and do that. But ended up taking overall in Roswell. So especially considering the issues off the bat, I was pretty happy with that. And then I was putting stuff away last week because we got home late Tuesday night and then we had the show Wednesday, but I was putting guns away and it had rained on Sunday while we were waiting for awards, like maybe a 10-minute rain. Didn't think anything of it. Bags were in the box of the truck. The tent was covering it and everything, so I didn't think anything got wet. But I pulled my guns out, and there was rust everywhere.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And, yeah, so got my shotgun cleaned up, got my rifle cleaned up, and okay, cool. And realized, oh, my pistol is in my other range bag. Grab it, and, yeah, it was bad. Like the shotgun and rifle, they weren't great, but it wasn't bad. The pistol was bad.
So when you say bad, like surface rust, or did it actually like get in there and do something?
It was surface rust, but like set in surface rust. Mm-hmm. So it hasn't pitted, but so then like all the scrubbing and that was not taking it off. But so I got searching, and I think end up having a topic on this later on, but I ended up using baking soda.
Did you?
Yeah. And then, so I left it, made a paste with baking soda, rubbed it all over it and let it sit overnight. Then the next day I took like a bread pan and filled it with, well, the rest of our white vinegar. So it was basically like a one to three white vinegar and water.
Yeah.
And put all the gun parts in it, let it sit all day and overnight. And it's not too bad. It could be better, but overall, it doesn't look too bad. It kind of looks worn. So,
yeah. Isn't it a stainless gun? What? Isn't it a stainless gun? Where's the rust coming from?
Well, yeah.
You could always use it as an excuse to change the color.
Well, and I actually said to the wife, I said, maybe it's time to actually go and get this Cerakoted, because yeah. My shotgun that I Cerakoted, the receiver didn't have anything on it. Yeah. And yeah, so, but pistol should be good to go. I might play around with it some more and like maybe actually get some actual rust remover that you soak it in. Whatnot, try that, see how much further I can get, but I'm happy with where it got to because it doesn't look bad. You really got to look to see the spots. I was rather disappointed myself on letting that happen, but I mean, yeah,
it happens.
Yeah.
Sorry, you've got more to go.
I got a couple more things. Yeah,
I see there.
This weekend, got a retreat I'm going to. Probably actually going to just do some recreational shooting, not competition, not training, just fun shooting. So, yeah, it should be good. And then, yeah, I got Rocky Mountain 3-gun next week. So, I probably actually won't be on the show next week because I will be up shooting the staff match on Wednesday, Thursday next week and then working it on the weekend.
So. Well, it's a good thing we've got new hosts.
Yeah, fill in for lackeys. but yeah. Oh, I love ordering ammo down here. So my stockpile was getting low, so I ordered some Monday morning. It arrived today.
Cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
So
where'd you order it from?
I've been ordering from True Shot in Tempe, Arizona. So one of the basically surrounding areas of Phoenix.
Yeah, so it's about 9 hours from you, 8 hours. Yeah, it's not bad.
How's the ammo price there? I've got friends in Washington, and ammo prices look like they hurt, but
They're not bad. The pistol ammo is usually right around 250, 1,000.
That's not bad.
And the rifle ammo, I think I just bought it. I only bought 500 rounds this time instead of 1,000. It's weird, I know, but I ended up getting it for 46 cents a round.
That's not too bad
either. If I had gotten 1,000, I think it was going to drop it to 44 cents a round.
Nice. So, pretty reasonable.
But that's American.
Yes, that's American. Yeah. Yep. But I mean, two years ago, I was seeing stuff as high as, like in stores, as high as 75 cents a round.
Yeah.
I know.
So it seems like stuff is settling down, but yeah, that is it for me. How about you, Tony? What you get up to?
See, day one, already late for work. Anyway,
nobody noticed except for you said something.
Right. Didn't be much shooting. I went to Lloyd Minster last week, and favorite gun shop in Lloyd Minster, Profit River. Funny story: the first time I visited Lloyd Minster, I was at a McDonald's across the street. I was like, oh, Profit River, cool. Didn't pick up anything from them that time. But this time, I picked up some specialty dies for a friend, 6.5 by 54 Melliker Schoenhauer. I think I pronounced it right-ish. So yeah, if you're looking for pretty unique stuff, Profit River got you covered. So you don't have to import from the States. So that's one. I also picked up Vortex Optics because one of my friends got a good deal on the open box sale. So that's very nice. On the email I mentioned, I have a cure package from one of the Steel Challenge national sponsors. That's the flag. So Vortex. Now we'll be a part of it. Sorry, Kyle, because he's not.
No worries. Vortex is great supporters. Good company.
And I got myself a this broke my bank. This is a very expensive Octus. But I promised myself if I ever got one of the match coupons, I would have. This is a Vortex Golden Eagle.
Oh, 15 nice.
To 60 power, 52. Because I'm going to shoot Maple Sea with this. Because I can't see the target too well. Last time I shot it was the first time I shot it and qualified was a 3-9. But I was combating with parallax because if I move it off my eyes, I can see the target, but not a crosshair. Otherwise, I can see the crosshair, not target. And then the second time I shot it was a Diamondback Tactical 6-24. I saw that's still not enough for 25 yards. So I'm going to a 60 power for 25 yards. One of my friends said, you're trying to count the fiber on the target, not trying to shoot a target. I was like,
eh. It's not quite what they meant by, say, pick a hair.
Yeah, so I haven't put this on a gun yet. Hopefully, I'll test it out on my 223. Again, tiny calibers for gigantic scopes. I have some other merch they sent me, too. I was being a little cheeky. So there's the coupon, and they asked you to take a picture of it. So I put my Vortex Huey beside it to show them that I'm a loyal customer. And I'm not going to be flipping this thing. This is not their most expensive scope on the catalog. I've heard people done that. I like Vortex stuff, so I'm going to use it. And it's a good opportunity. If I use it for the next 40 years, it's not too much per year. So that's my logic. And in case I broke it, they were going to give me a new one. So that's why I love Vortex. And a follow-up on the Kodiak K9 situation, which is new, they finally responded, and they sent me new screws. I know. It's insane. It's like, I think from a perspective, it's actually just over the year I've purchased it. They've only sent me screws, though. They did not give me a manual. They did not tell me what kind of PCC trigger you should put in it. So I guess 1 out of 4 questions isn't too bad. At least I have screws, so we'll see if I want to keep it. I should have brought it on the show maybe next week to show you how much gas blowback, like it's leaking out the upper and lower. It's like pretty spectacular. And I think my YouTube comments would mention that I have cleaned the chamber. I've used it with factory ammo as well, and still seems to blow back more than I experienced before, which might mean the spring is worn out, but I've already shoved a aftermarket AR spring in it, so maybe that one's worn out. I'm not too sure. Maybe I just 5,000 rounds, all you got. Maybe I'll just replace the spring. We'll try something. I promised myself if I ever broke that thing, I'm going to get myself a restricted. So maybe that will happen. But I'm looking at FX9, a restricted rifles, pistols, whatever you call it. And they don't seem to be too available at the moment in Canada. So I might need to like pre-order one or back-order one, or maybe I just have to wait for a bit.
What kind are you looking at?
The 10 or the 8 FX9 seem to work pretty well from what I've seen at our range. I'm thinking that has something to do with the 18-inch sharing the exact same backhand with the 16-inch. So the buffer weight and spring is all tuned for the 16-inch. We just lobbed on 2 inches of dwell time on there because Canada. But in comparison, the SBR or the pistols are actually designed for their length right from the States. So maybe they work better because of that.
I would double check the barrels because a lot of PCC barrels are still like your 6-inch barrel, and then it's just a shroud for the rest of it.
I believe these are all full barrels. They actually have barrels, and I think you can go down to a 4. I think that was too dumb. So I'll probably go with, I think 8 have the best aesthetics and balance, in my opinion. I might go to the range and borrow someone's to shoot a evening match of sorts, club level, and see how I like it. But that's about it. I didn't really shoot much. Hopefully we'll get back on the range, but as everyone has mentioned already, it's very hot right now. Everything's on fire. Not great. Yeah,
it's hot.
Yeah, it's hot. Weather's been nice for me. We went one last little bit because we were in Merritt camping for a week just after the heat wave ended. So we had like nice mid-20s, a little bit of rain, kept the heat down. And I stopped at my favorite little gun store in Merritt, British Columbia, called Gun Fishin'. It's run by this like retired old couple, and they are an absolute delight. Sold me some small pistol primers for like a good deal. So if you're ever in the area, definitely pop by that cute, adorable store because it's wonderful. But yeah, weather's been great here. I don't know what you guys are all talking about.
Don't worry, it's coming your way.
Yeah, tomorrow I think is when it starts getting up north of 30 again.
Yeah. Yep, welcome to Canada.
Well, it's a natural transition. We'll go to Dustin next. What have you done in guns?
Well, I kind of started. I did some stuff at the beginning of the week, so that was just filling in the little bit at the end there.
Yeah.
So moving on from there, upcoming events. All right, Adriel and Kelly, are you reading upcoming 3-gun matches on 3gun.ca?
Sure, and I can do the maple seed things too. Or Kyle, do you have it loaded up?
I got the 3-gun loaded up. Yep.
Cool.
I'll do the maple seed then.
Okay. So for August, August 3rd. Is a Chaz 3-gun match. They're at the Genesee Range in Edmonton. Also, the same weekend.
That got canceled. I didn't update it there yet, but yeah, it got canceled. What happened?
Okay.
It's a long weekend. Who wants to shoot it's a long weekend. Everyone wants to go camping and stuff.
Okay. Well, for everyone that's sad about that, you can head out east to the Niagara Regional 3-gun Championship, August 3rd and through the 5th. That's at the Niagara Regional Sportsman Club, and you can find that on Practice Score. August 10th is the Sherwood Park Fishing Game Association multi-gun, and that's it for August right now. Go into September. September 6th is the Canadian Multi-Gun Series, the championship finale at Guelph Rod and Gun Club, and on the 7th is Chaz 3-gun Battle of Alberta. I don't know, is that full or is there still registration slots for that?
There might still be some spots available for that one.
Yeah. Usually it fills up, but you never know. And we'll go that same weekend is CDTSA 3-gun at Milo. So all of those are available on Practice Score.
Cool. And then as for maple seeds, there's one tomorrow. KTSE Kamloops in DC. Cornwall and Hampton are sold out. Smith Falls, August 11th. That's on the website.
It just got released yesterday. So 2 weeks away. So who would like to come to a maple seed in the Ottawa area? Guess who's going to be there? This girl, as well as Greg Weiss, a couple of our new IITs. But yeah, I get to sleep in my bed that night. It's good. I'll be in Cornwall, which is 2 hours away. I'll drive home, have a quick sleep, and then I'll be out at Smith Falls the next day. It's going to be awesome.
That's still a long driving. Jeez.
No, it's actually not that much.
Not for Kelly.
No, it's not. I'm excited.
Maybe you just had too much driving here to Edmonton, to Lloydminster, driving back to Edmonton, back to Calgary. That was too much driving.
Yeah. So, no. I'm super excited about it.
Everything is super flat. It's road construction everywhere, potholes everywhere. Oh my God.
Yeah. So, sorry. I interrupted you. Adriel.
Smith Falls. I'm going to send an email out for Maple Seed right away here too that has that one in there.
Yep.
Chaz has some spots. Are we doing one on the 17th? Yeah, I guess so. Oh, mm-hmm. I should add that one there. I guess I'm going to be there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You are.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Nanaimo in BC, that's August 20th. Bonnyville, mm-hmm. August 24th. Those are both in Alberta. Tabor on August 26th. So that's a new one. That must be Steve setting that up.
Neat. If you're not doing it,
I am not.
And Tom's probably not doing it. So I'd assume Steve's doing it.
It's like a 7-hour drive for me.
I know.
Yeah. Lloydminster, that's on August 31st. If you're in that area, register, because there's only a few people signed up for that. So that's at risk of cancellation. Lady Seed Blue Ridge on September 7th.
Sherwood
Park on the 14th. And then there's a ladies one. That's part of the ladies club. So if you're a member of Sherwood Park, check that out on the 15th.
Guess who's going to be at that one, too? This girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll be at the one in Blue Ridge, too. That one just opened out to the public. So if you know any ladies in Ontario, Collingwood area, come out.
Neat. And I don't know, sometime during the show here, I'll send an email as well from Maple Seed that'll have all these events.
Can we announce the ones that are going to be in CFB Borden, too? It's Borden.
September 28th, CFB Borden. That'll be a Maple Seed. There's only a couple spots left for that one. Correct. September 29th. This is a known distance. Another known distance in CFB Borden. You need to have your rifleman patch in order to compete at that thing.
Correct. So
otherwise, you're going to have a bad time.
Guess who's going to be at that one? This girl. So Rick's going to be there too. So if you've never met Rick Kadebeck before, come on out. Shoot it. It's going to be lots of fun. We have such a good time at the known distance. We've only done one of them, but we had such a good time at that one. We're doing it again. Also, Dave Cracky is going to be there too.
Neat.
Just saying, you know, if you want to see me, Dave's going to be there. So is Rick. But we need people to sign up for it. So go and sign up. I've just released it to the public.
Very good.
Excellent.
We don't have one in Western Canada yet, eh?
You will.
Yeah. We will. We'll have one in the Edmonton/Central Alberta area.
Yep.
That means 3-hour drive for me again.
No. Central Alberta area, if we have one in the Rocky area, that won't be a 3-hour drive for you. It'll be a little bit less.
Oh my God, Tony.
Like 3 hours? That's amazing.
I'm lazy. Okay. In China, driving is a different concept. Like 5 hours for a personal vehicle is like maxed out. You don't do
that. That's just traffic. That's just going to work.
Tony.
That's just the start of the trip.
Tony, we're not in China. We're in Canada where nothing is too close. So get in your car and drive for 3 hours.
You guys need to invest in like the Maple Seed RV. Make your lives.
We've been talking about the Apache helicopter. Nobody wants to donate to us for that, though.
Of course. Well, the upkeep on the Apaches a lot, though, right?
Yeah, but it's pretty badass.
Fair.
Goes back to tyrannies. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Is that the last of the upcoming events?
I think. I don't really want to promote my firearms training too much because I'm already swamped on the 10th. If you want to do your RPAL on the 11th, I've got some spots for that, but the PAL one, I've already got too many people.
Go get your RPAL, folks. Everybody's going to want it at some point.
Look at that.
You're going to want it when the yeah. pistols go restricted again and you're able to mm-hmm. buy one, you're going to want one so that you can.
I can't wait for that. I'm going to sell damn near everything I have for a lot more than it's worth. That's like,
I hate you guys.
Oh, you want a handgun? You want a handgun now? Yeah. Yeah. You pay double. That's.
Yeah. Oh, but... how generous.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what the, like the carrying capacity of like what the like actual price point seems to be on, and then we'll adjust accordingly. But yeah, so news. Alec Baldwin's in the news again.
I put this in here. We didn't talk about it before because there was, you know, the recent stuff, and I'm going, Tustin's on. I'm going, let's talk about Alec Baldwin. Let's just tie that little bow up on it, right? Because everything else is dealt
yeah.
with.
Yeah, everybody's shocked. There will be no accountability. They're
like, a better lawyer.
Did I say that on the last time you were on? I said, nothing's going to happen to him.
No, and I felt the same. I guess like from an industry standpoint, this is a good thing because like all of the uncertainty around here has been a big headache. It's still made a mess of things. You know, a lot of independent folk won't be able to like rent guns anymore. Already yeah. kind of can't. So, but yeah, I'm not shocked that the people, you know, at the high up that managed to lie to federal police saw no consequences. And moving right along, I guess if there's no other news, no news in the gun world is sometimes good news, although. I guess there's that new cool. It just popped up in my feed. You guys were talking about it, like the cryptic or crypto something.
It's down in the new gun
stuff. Oh, is it? It's down in the new guns, right? I'm sorry. All right, well then let's talk about the new gun stuff. That's news. new gun stuff is brought to you by Bullseye North. Need a new boomstick? Bullseye North is Canada's shooting superstore and a proud supporter of the CCFR with a wide selection of guns and top trending gear for any shooter. Free shipping over $250. Some exclusions apply. They now have $17 flat rate shipping for orders below $250. Subscribe to their weekly newsletter to get first access to the hottest deals.
And yeah. You know, they had a lot of things that they put up, but I think this was the most practical one. It's their over-under self-defense shotgun.
Nice.
Stoker double defense over-under. It's $750. It's got Picatinny rails and, Picatinny rails everywhere. On the top, on the sides. And it's quickly.
Is it bad that I want that thing?
It's tactical over-under.
I won't buy it for $750, but I want it.
I would like to try running a three gun match like a cowboy action style with one of those.
They're so stiff. I've played with a couple of them. It's a cool like $500 gun. Somebody got one used in good condition, maybe broke in for like around $500. Let me know. But they're stiff. I don't like how stiff they are.
Yeah. They also have a side by side version, if I recall correctly. Like a coach gun. I think that's probably a little bit more.
I already have a coach gun. I mean, I have an over under two, but I don't have a ridiculous over under.
SS211, yeah. Reviewed by the Hunting Gear Guy.
That's even worse. That is a terrible gun to shoot, but it is the most meme worthy gun.
That's the one with the short stock, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's not fun.
They basically chop the stock like back near the grip there. So the stock is smaller and the pad is smaller. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's terrible.
We took a couple of those, put pistol grips on them, put them in a movie a couple of years ago. It was great.
Oh, sweet.
All right.
Here's your crypto.
There it is. Ooh. So, Crusader Crypto, $1,000 receiver set, $2,300 rifle, all AR parts except for the receiver, no FRT.
Ooh.
Oh, well, that's...
You don't need one. You do not need an FRT to sell firearms in Canada. When it's Wolverine true. Brought out their the WK-180, they sold those first ones as, hey, we don't have the FRT yet, but we warranty that this will be non-restricted.
Right.
And people bought them, and we waited, and then the FRT came in, and it was non-restricted, and everything was fine.
Still, proprietary magazine.
I don't like that.
Do you know why it's a proprietary magazine?
It's the law, right?
That's what I've heard. It has to be a proprietary. It has to be a five-round magazine because of C21. Any new firearm, you can't have any bigger.
But you could. I'm hoping that some sense was had when they designed this thing in such a way that you could maybe aftermarket modify this to accept NATO mags? Question mark. I mean,
with a Dremel, anything is possible.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Right, like you just mm-hmm. if you make the receiver like beefy enough that you can just take a little away.
I think I read something, or I might be completely wrong, but the mags for this are compatible in stuff that takes other AR mags, but other AR mags are not compatible in this.
So that means it's
there's
probably
something there that could probably be.
It's got ribs. It's got ribs that you need to machine if you wanted to. Yeah.
Well, as we know, that's perfectly legal. You can make a gun. You can modify a gun to accept other magazines.
Just you can't modify the magazine to fit.
Correct. Gun.
That's right.
Listeners, please know this show is for entertainment purposes.
That's definitely, you know, public information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool, but.
Well, okay, so let's talk about use cases for this thing. So obviously, like competition gun or non-restricted, if you wanted to go as a coyote rifle, like this would be pretty decent.
Yeah, you can have Hero 223.
So. But why? My question is, how is this more competitive than the Raven?
The Raven has a proprietary bolt, charging handle, firing pin. This doesn't. All those parts are
more. Well, just buy a set of everything like that because it's cheaper. It takes 10 round magazines.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as compatible, yes, but
it has an FRT as well. The Raven has
an FRT. It's approved.
I don't know. Like I'm ambivalent on new guns. I used to be the first guy to jump on every single new gun, and I have a couple still in my safe, but I'll wait 3 years until Gen 3 has come out and it is done breaking, and then I'll buy one.
Well, I mean, you can just check the dimensions on the receiver, see how close stuff is to the parts. My big thing is I want to see the mag well and see just what is different between their mag and an AR mag to say, like, can it be modified to it is viable for competition and not just coyote gun sitting there?
Yeah,
I've seen the photos. It can, like, the mags themselves have these. Where's the photo? The mags themselves have these ribs on them, and that's what's inside the receiver, and that's it. So yes, it is. You could machine out the mag well on it. These proprietary mags that comes with the coupled at the bottom here.
Mm-hmm.
They're 5-round bodies, and they can't be decoupled. They have to stay like that.
I don't like that.
But who cares? You're not going to use that anyways.
Well, you're right. You're not. Yeah.
Yeah. But you're not going to use those. Dirt.
Oh, you mean you're not going to use them at all? Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Same reason why all my PMAs used to be pinned to 1 or 2 rounds when I crossed the border into Canada, because I wasn't using them in Canada anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that this rifle, like, there's a timing risk on this thing. So they're not submitting it for FRT. They don't need to because they're selling it in Canada and they're saying it's non-restricted. And they can just keep doing that. But if the RCMP gets their hands on this, they will determine if it's classified non-restricted or restricted or prohibited. And based on past firearm design, so in the past we had the Maccabee Defense and we had the ATRS, and they were both, like, not AR variants, but very similar to ARs. And in fact, this thing takes down, it's got these two pins at the front and it's got one pin at the back. So these dowels stay in at the front and the pin at the back. That's very similar to the ATRS design. And the ATRS was determined to be prohibited. So if the RCMP gets a hold of this thing, they will classify it as prohibited, in my opinion.
But as we've all been told, the RCMP's opinion is just that, an opinion and not the law. I think the ARTS, you still got folks selling them
and using
The ATRS is still in court with the Alberta over their stuff. Like,
oh yeah, no. But so, you know, I think you're absolutely right. The second they get a hold of that, I mean, just judging by them calling everything that even vaguely looks like an AR variant, that it wouldn't be the first thing I'd run out and purchase for myself, knowing that in the year it might not be. You know, problem.
Well, and with all that, I'm still surprised that the 180s are still able to be in, because, like, it's. I mean, like, when you look at the the design differences and everything, like, it's still a very similar platform. It's still kind of funny because, like, the Maccabee and the ATRS, like, they were different receivers. Like, you could not take an upper from an AR and put them on there. You just could not do it.
Yeah, but so you got to think about the timing on that, right? Like, the original AR-180B, when it came into the country, so the original AR-180 was prohibited. And but the AR-180B used a mix mash of AR-15 and AR-180 parts. So they said, oh, this isn't an AR-15 variant because it's actually an AR-180 variant. Yeah. But it's not the original AR-180. So we're going to say it's non-restricted. And they took that, like,
shotguns and said that it was an AR variant.
Like, that's more recent. Like, that's more recent, though. The more recent ones are they qualify every, they classify everything, right? Yeah. So they changed their mind on the ATRS. Oh, we decided before it wasn't a variant of an AR. Now we decide it is. So the timing around when they're making these decisions matters in what gets through and what doesn't.
Yeah, and that's why, like, God, we have one in the house. What was it? The 12 gauge that is absolutely not an AR, but looks like one.
That pump action one.
No, I was talking about the semi-auto one, the Typhoon.
Typhoon.
Yeah. We have one of the other. I don't know, that one of those Turkish shotguns that we, like I said, somebody in the house owns one. Has all the go fast parts. Definitely is not an AR, but it wasn't when it was sold. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this could suffer from that. But at the same time, on the other side of the coin, I don't know if there's any political points to be scored. Like, I know the RCMP are still, you know, clamping down on us, and there's definitely, I can promise you, there is definitely a mandate that has, like, gone through the CFO and to the police, you know, to screw us over at every turn. That is a thing that we know exists. But I with all the turmoil out there right now, I just don't know if, like, there's a huge motivation to do much with this. You know, a few hundred people are going to buy these, maybe get screwed over, maybe not, you know. But with the 180 thing, like, there's so many of those now because they were at such a cheap price point and they were allowed to go crazy for a little bit. Even if they're not a great gun, they're an okay gun, and there's a lot of them.
So here's a question. Are these built ready to go now, or is there a wait period, or is this, like, one of those pre-orders?
Good question. They're shipping delivery in 6 weeks, I believe.
Oh, I see. Delivery August 31st.
Yeah.
I'll believe that when they get delivered August 31st.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But,
well, guys, like, this is an AR upper and lower that assembles a little bit differently. So if they have the tech specs and they have a CNC machine that can make an AR parts on it, they're good to go.
Yeah, but that's stuff like
if in that sentence, like, is like carrying a lot.
Yeah,
I wouldn't buy Gen 1, like, straight up, just like Dustin was saying there. I wouldn't buy a Gen 1, but it's neat that it's coming out. And the receiver set, you could take some AR parts and slap that on there and be good to go.
I get the motivation there for anybody that's got an AR sitting in their safe, but it's like 2-3 years behind schedule, honestly. Like, I'm not going to rip apart any of my ARs to build something. I have non-restricted 223 and slinging a dollar around downrange.
You can wait.
You can wait.
Yeah. Neat. Okay. Well, there's that thing.
Cool.
Iron Guns is bringing in some ASC 1030 round mags. I like bringing these up because some people like that kind of thing. If they're running, like, a chest rig or something like that for their mags, and they don't want to run the coupled. So if you want those, Iron Guns has them.
I don't like how they pinch them at the corners.
Yeah, the crimping. I'm not a fan either.
Crimping at the corners sucks so bad.
It's better than the rivet. The rivet, like, binds up with the spring real bad.
Yeah.
No, I agree. But, like, do it just like every handgun producer does now. Two punches on the side. Something that, if the laws ever change, it is, you can turn that magazine back into something that is useful. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, this is 10 rounds for forever. You're never going to fix that.
If you put the rivet in the front, the spring doesn't bind up in it near as bad.
Oh, I've never seen one with the front. I've always seen them in the back.
It's odd. Out of my four Magpul Glock 27 rounders, only one of them have the rivet binding issues. And I think even after I repinned it, still have that problem. I don't know why. And it's only the one, and it wouldn't lift up to the very top. So sometimes either won't feed the last round, or it wouldn't activate the hold open on the last round.
Knock on wood, I have never had a binding issue on any of my extendi mags, and I have a few.
Neat. Prophet River has some Starline brass in, so if you're looking for some brass in a weird cartridge, they've got a whole bunch of stuff from your 4590s to your 260 Remingtons to your 30 Lugers.
And Beowulf.
They got 50 Beowulf.
Oh, gosh. 3-round or is it 2-round magazine?
Yeah, well, depends on, you know, what kind of mags you got now, that kind of thing. And then one that just came in my email here, just as we were doing the show here, is True North Arms has their Kel-Tec KSG 410 for $739. It's a 410 pump action shotgun, holds 14 rounds of 410, and it is 5 pounds.
Kelly, can you answer how many dollars is 15 rounds of 410 worth?
15 rounds? $20.
Yeah. $30 for a full box.
Yeah.
Pretty expensive. Wow. You're shooting smaller shells and it's more expensive.
They're exclusive. It's like, you know, instead of, it's like, well, Louis Vuitton.
I was going to say, is that your pinky shooting. Out shooting?
I want to put this thing in a movie. But not like a, you know, a present movie.
That, it's future. This it's, needs to be in a spaghetti western.
That's no, this thing screams like, space cat, but it doesn't scream good gun. Like it just, you know,
actually,
you
be know, ugly.
Yeah, it's
like that Cowboys and Aliens, something like that.
Yeah.
Get a Cat 7. It has the same handle on top.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look great either. So let's just, yeah.
No, the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's the ugly there. Your spaghetti western.
If you guys want a good spaghetti western, real quick, watch The Good, the Bad, and the Weird. It's a Korean spaghetti western. And the setting, like the time it takes place in, you will not be able to know until like the last 10 minutes of the movie. You will be scratching your head. Is this, am I in the future? Am I in the past? What is going on here? It's spectacular. It's a very good movie.
All right.
How many tomatoes?
Oh, I refuse to abide by any rating system like that. Just highly recommend. You'll like it. It's good. It's very good. It's a very good action movie. I only give good movie recommendations. I promise.
Okay. Cool. Thanks, Dustin.
Good luck.
All right. Main topic. New hosts regale us with their captivating life stories. That do we not have a main topic?
You guys are the main That's topic.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Are we gonna get asked if we like turtles?
I have a turtle.
I recall that was the question on Bose Kelly's interview as the Ontario director. That was a little while ago. And Kyle and Moe's interview too, I think.
Oh, do you like turtles? You
like turtles? Yeah.
Yep. How about cheese?
Do you like turtles?
Like Turtle the Chocolate or Turtle the Animal?
No, you're not getting them. None of you guys get your points for your meme recognition on that one.
No.
Well, of course, I'm like born Chinese, so I don't get a lot of things. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I missed that meme, went right over my head.
Oh, that was that kid. They're like, so what do you think of this? I like turtles.
I got to look it up then.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's an old one, but it checks out.
All right, since I'm driving, Tony, you have to go first.
Why do I go first? I'm already late for the show. My name's Tony. I'm definitely not the factory rep from Lorinco. Everyone badmouths me Lorinco ammo. Bad for business. The show, you see, so what? No Asian representation. So I come on the show. I represent the Asian shooting community.
Hey, it's a big community. It's great.
It's surprising. You see people from all walks of life at the range, plumbers, electricians, lawyers, jewelers. I've seen PhDs, doctors, all kinds of people. It's great. It's a great community. I really love it. Shout out to the BTSA, I guess. What else do I want to say?
How did you get into the community, Kelly? I'm really curious.
I've I've briefed on it when I was doing my first show with Slamfire. So I was more into cars when I was younger, and it's like, oh, in Canada, you can drive when you're 14. It's like, oh, this is amazing. And that was when I was like, first visiting Canada was like 8. And then for some reason, my dad mentioned, oh, you can buy a gun in Canada. It's like, oh, that's pretty cool. So it's kind of in the back of my mind throughout my kind of high school career and into university. It's like, yeah, I'm looking up some YouTube stuff about guns, looking at Cabela's SKSs with $200.
That was a good old cool. Days.
Yeah, that was not long ago, to be honest. And then I missed out my chance to apply for the university shooting club in the University of Calgary. Shout out. Because COVID struck, my first two years were more busy. And then I thought, okay, I'm going to make it up in the third and fourth year. And then COVID struck. So that didn't happen. So I actually only got a PAL, not the RPAL, wrong choice. Get both. If you're in Calgary, get it from Foothill Firearm Training. You'll be satisfied. A lot of mean guns. I got it from Calgary Shooting Center for my PAL. I went with a buddy of mine. That's right after we graduated university. I got myself a shotgun, shot some hand-thrown clays and whatever in the field in Crownland. And then I didn't, it's like, oh, now what do I do with my gun? I went to down south to a HIA range where they shoot more like machine-thrown trap and skeet and whatever. It's like, yeah, okay. So I only got introduced to shooting sport, which is way too late, by the CCFR series, Canada Downrange. And I found out, ooh, there's a range called BTSA. They're pretty cool. They're near Calgary. So it was winter times. They didn't have a lot of shooting events going on. So I joined their Rimfire Precision League to start. Found the people to be really friendly. And I was a noob doing nothing right. I had a A22. I had a red dot to start, which is not great for precision. And then I slapped on my 3-9, which I already had. And then the Diamondback 6-24. Adjustable, the magnification isn't the biggest issue. The adjustable objective is kind of the big thing because you're shooting targets quite close with magnified optics. After that, met Taylor Reich on the Rimfire League, and he introduced me to PCC shooting in IPSC. So cool. I started shooting PCC and IPSC and then Steel Challenge as the season opened up second year, became a member of the BTSA and continued shooting ever since. I see the pistol guys doing pistol stuff. Cool. Made some friends over there. They lent me handguns. I tried handguns. Awesome. Took my RPAL. Wait, now I'm just waiting for a handgun, basically. So,
of course.
This is my broad training rig, just in case. Ooh. So I didn't, you know, blow my foot off or harm anyone I'm trying to.
Is that a Glock 17 trainer?
Yep. It's a Glock. It's on a Blake Tech holster. Yeah. I use their Mark pouches to start, and I'm pretty satisfied. So I got a holster on sale, and I got a red gun for sale. So they meet up pretty well. And that's my training rig-ish. I don't really need it anymore just because I've done it quite a few times. Did my black badge as well. Had to borrow a handgun as well for that, but at that time, I don't really have a choice. PCC Black Badge isn't quite out yet. That's kind of on the edge of that. That's not too long ago, like 2 months ago, 3 months ago. Only shot one IPSC match after that. Not a lot. But yeah.
I mean, that's more IPSC matches than I would expect for somebody who doesn't actually own handguns. So that's great.
It's great because Taylor is a part of our range and a big influence in Alberta, and he shoots PCC. He is the champion of PCC, so matches in BTSA or around here, Southern Alberta, tends to accept PCC more than the other regions, I believe.
Well, it makes sense because, like, you've got a larger contingent. Even out here, man, like, you know, before all of the bans, before all the headaches, I used to shoot all the time. Would it be at the range all the time? It's my favorite thing. You run into folks that you never met before and like let them play with things. The conversations I'd had trying to get people to get like their RPAL and like, oh, I'll never need that. And like, it's wild. So, you know, PCC, you can shoot it with a non-restricted, you know, it's just like there's just a larger pool of people to play that game.
No, restrictions not as fun though. They're very heavy.
Oh no, I get that. But yeah, I'm just saying,
your at least pool, you can introduce to people to the sport for sure. But I think even nowadays, the entry to shooting sports is still quite small. In that regard, both Dave from Foothills Firearm and Adriel is doing a great job. They're either teaching at a range or they are very closely related to shooting competitions. And that's a great introduction for my class at Calgary Shooting Center. I think most of the people in that class is either just barely interested or like hunting focused. So I didn't get a lot of what to do next. You should go shoot a maple seed. You should go check out Practice Score, which is great. Mm-hmm. And you can see what kind of events you have. You don't have to like go shoot it. You can, you know, email the match director. Hey, I'm new to this. Can I just spectate for a match? I bet even for us, lots of shooters will be happy to chat with you to talk about what they do for this match, this type of matches, what other kind of shooting sports are available. And for example, introduce you to IPSC rules if you're just watching an IPSC match.
Yeah. No, that's, I think maybe that's the thing that like as a community, we could do more. Has there been a topic like that? Like, so you've got your gun license. Here's the things you need to do now.
I think we did one of those, but it was a while ago. That was like during COVID, because a lot of people were, oh my God, COVID's happening. I need a gun in my house. And then they're right. Like, okay, now what? So I think we did that for, we went and did that specifically for handguns, but we could do like that as a general topic going forward.
It really wouldn't be bad. I run, because like I've gotten a lot of people involved in it, and that does seem to be like a hang up at the other end once you've got your license, kind of like, okay, what do I do with this now?
Yeah.
And maybe just as a community, we could do a better job doing that part of the outreach, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one thing, and like, I kind of echo what you were saying, Dustin, to Tony, and hand it to Tony, like, you're out there shooting IPSC matches when you don't own a handgun. So you've actually taken what the community has said, where we don't care if you, we'll loan you the stuff, and you've actually taken them up on it. A lot of people just don't want to ask. You tell them, don't, you don't have the stuff, that's fine. Come out and people will fight to give you stuff. But a lot of people won't take people up on that. So good on you, Tony, for doing that and taking them up on it and getting in there.
For real. And you know, if we weren't like a year away from seeing potentially this stuff end, I would say, you know, everybody in their respective province needs to start a gun business and start renting guns to those competitions. Just to I could do that. No rules say you can't do that, but you know, we'll just cross our fingers that the election goes well.
Yeah, I think that's the right thing to do right now.
Yeah.
And then some people are gonna, how do you say, jack up the market? What's the word?
Buy low, sell high. Capitalism.
Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. I keep telling myself I bought all of those guns as investments. Market's high, baby. Like I'd be a fool not to get mine, you know. That's fair. All right. Did you have any more captivating life story, or is it my turn?
We'll go to you first.
All right. I've definitely told my story before. It's been a long time. I've been shooting most of my life. I grew up in small town Saskatchewan. You know, my grandfather taught me how to shoot. My mom shoots a little bit. Had a bit of a like tumultuous childhood, interesting lives there. You know, but and that kind of culminated when I was going to university. I experienced a hate crime, which got me took me from like, I'm interested in firearms because I've kind of always been. I got my PAL right when I was legal to. I had a minor's license before that, and then that carries over into a full license with a little bit of paperwork. But yeah, I got gay bashed when I was like 18. Changed my life a little bit physically, and I got a little bit more interested in like self-defense and just like that area of like firearms, and realized how ridiculous that is in Canada, which frustrated me. But from there, I just started shooting a lot. I got a lot of my friends into shooting. There wasn't like a whole bunch of other stuff to do in Saskatchewan. So, you know, it's pretty easy to go find, you know, somewhere to go shoot somebody's field or, you know, some crown land somewhere. There's a few ranges floating around as well. And then I moved out here and I kind of like let it fall by the wayside for a few years. And then a friend had her bachelorette party at a gun range and was like, come shoot. Okay. I haven't shot guns in a long time. But shotguns was cool. Oh yeah. I remember this is good. This is very good. So I think I had, because my grandfather was holding on to my, I had a couple of guns and I pretty much immediately got those sent back out to me. And I kind of went crazy. It was just as I started getting into the film industry too, where I was making really good money. Film industry is very boom and bust. It's kind of like the oil field and it's kind of like on a 10-year cycle where it'd be really, really. Anyway, just at the beginning of that, of making really, really good money and being young and dumb and having nothing better to spend it on. So I bought a whole bunch of guns. I was at the same time exploring getting into the prop department, which is, you know, props, and that kind of works hand in hand with like the armorers. You know, we're responsible for anything that an actor handles that includes a firearm. Mm-hmm. I took that as an excellent excuse to buy every single gun that I could. So that I could familiarize myself on it. So I've owned just about every handgun that's ever been legal in Canada at some point. I've got some pictures of like, you know, 15 or 20 of them sitting on my coffee table at one point. Just like I wanted to know how everyone functions so that I could be that like that lifesaver on set when one malfunctioned and just be able to rip them apart, clean them, put them back together really quick. Because when you shoot a blank gun, it's like every round, it's like shooting 100 normal rounds. So, you know, you rip through a mag and they just get so unbelievably dirty. And yeah, that skill, that sort of thought process ended up really being beneficial. And, I met like the right people at the right time to proceed with the pursuit of my armorer's license, my theatrical armorer's license, getting my firearms business license and, going through the 3-year process that was that and getting all of the sign-offs from the folks that have been here since the beginning of time. I made a really, really good connection with the original armorer in Vancouver, in the Vancouver film industry, which is really neat. From there I got involved with CCFR kind of right when it started. I made friends with Rod Giltaka before the CCFR. I had a videography company for a while. I encountered him on YouTube. It was still when his YouTube videos were kind of like had that green hue to it. So I sent
him. Did you ever film for the Silva Vantage channel?
Yeah. It was really funny. So like I would come home after like a long day on set and I'd watch some of Rod's videos while I was like, you know, hanging out or whatnot. And so but it was bugging me. I was like, oh, you need to, there's a few things that need to be fixed. So I sent him an email. It's just like, hey, I run a videography company and I work in film. Would you like some help? And Rod being the awesome human being he said yes. And we made friends and helped him tweak a few things. I shot some stuff for him. I've shot a weird little bit of stuff every once in a while when like, you know, it's fun. And so did that. Really good lifelong friend there, got involved in the CCFR kind of close to its inception, helped shoot some of the early content for there as well. Not the stuff that you watched, Tony, that was someone else who I also made friends with because I was there as well. But I don't know. I've been in the shooting community forever. And even to this day, I still, everybody that is like looking for a gun license within like my social circle or within a social circle that is connected to my social circle knows that I will happily have folks over for an evening. I will lay down every single type of gun they could conceivably encounter and I will give them a pre-pal course because like, one thing that I thought was really blown away, when I moved out here, my PAL had expired. So I had to renew that. Something had happened because I ended up going through the course a second time, which was very, very funny, because I went through it and the instructor, offered me a job after. He's like, you've done this before. I'm like, yeah, I let it expire when I was, long story. But anyway, the thing I realized going into that course was that most people, like when they pick up a gun for the first time, they get like the shakes, you know, Adriel, you probably see this all the time with, you know, yep. the new folks. And so if you can like work that level of fear out of someone before they go into the course, it seems to generally help. So I've anybody that's ever come over for a night to just hang out and learn about guns a little bit has generally done pretty well. Usually if there's time, I'll take them out shooting too, because that's fun. But the nearest range is an hour from here. So, yeah, that's like a brief encapsulation of my life story.
Cool. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
All right. No, well, we have some.
No, you can't say anything. He's the.
Oh yes, I'm driving. I know. That's right. But, okay. We had listener feedback. Oh wait, we do. It's wait, nothing on. So we have listener feedback, but not on Facebook. We have an email. It's just one email.
Okay.
Oh. There's two.
Right? Yeah, I see. It's two paragraphs.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I can do these. All right. So we've got two listener feedback emails. The first, hi, just wanted to drop a quick note that I don't think you need another host. Three is enough. Two is better, especially if you have guests. Any more people talk over each other and interrupt, and it's not good listening. I'm so sorry.
We read everything.
None of the guest hosts were particularly memorable either. If you must just get random Dave on more, regards, Kyle. Well, Kyle, I'm sorry. I'm here. It looks like Tony is too. I promise you, I'm more memorable than you think. Most people get me after they encounter me. So we just need to hang out. All right. Next.
So, really, just to address it, some of the time, a lot of the time, one or more of the hosts have other things going on that evening. So yeah. By having five plus, you know, random Dave to come on randomly, we should be more or less set for more of these things. There's been times where it's been like, we have one person and then one person's like, okay, I'm going to cancel my plan so I can come on to the show and make sure that there isn't just one person. So I think that's going to give us the coverage. I think having some extra coverage on social is going to be nice, and having some extra coverage on podcast editing and uploading, all that kind of stuff, would be nice as well.
Yeah. I mean, Adriel has been doing a lot of the editing piece, and yeah, and I'm not very helpful, so it'd be nice to have people who are.
Yeah, we are here to help balance things out. You will not have to deal with us all the time. It's just that it's not just Adriel and Kyle, or Kelly and Kyle. There's someone in Kyle. too much South Park lately. Apologize. All right, next one. Hi, guys and gals. There is something else amiss about YouTube lately. I noticed shortly after I posted comments on episode 565, my comments disappeared. I don't know if they were deleted or just suppressed. It currently says there are 19 comments, but only 12 are visible. Keep the podcasts coming and bring on Tony as your new host, Edmund. Well,
I don't see any.
I went and checked this out. When you log in under Slamfire, yeah, they're all there. If you go to your personal, it'll automatically go to like top comments, and it's YouTube's filtering it out. I went to newest first, and they showed right up on my personal YouTube. So Ed, that's what's happened in there, Ed. So
yeah, I have also experienced that.
It's stupid. Like Eddie comments on pretty much every video. He should be. Him and Tony should be top comments on our videos.
Tony, you're still going to have to go and comment on all our videos.
Tony's got
to
comment on his own videos now.
And once every 3 weeks, write us long email.
Then what am I going to talk about when I'm doing the section for what we did in guns? It's like the same thing. Like previously, I couldn't. So now the goal is I type less.
So you're saying we've given you a platform so that you can take part in a different part of the podcast.
No, it's just I'm lazy and my fingers are tired.
Speech to text,
baby. Good point.
All right, moving on to YouTube. Apparently, Kyle or Adriel are going to do these live.
Yeah, I got him here.
Yeah.
Should actually make Tony read half of these, but
oh yeah, I should. I don't have the list. Girl, you should like copy it out here or something.
Okay, so we actually, as the email from Ed said, we have a number of comments on last week's show. First few are from Tony. Says, we did have a Slamfire case with a 1022 platform rifle at the BTSA. Fortunately, it was in the hands of an experienced shooter, and the shot was safely into the berm, as it should. And it did not run away either. Just one shot.
That was kind of a weird one. We didn't know what happened.
What gun was it?
Just a 1022. I think it's just a standard 1022 receiver.
You can get a Slamfire with them. As it's feeding the round, there's like a little bit of a square edge on the bottom of the bolt that can catch them, and it'll fire out a battery. I saw it happen. One of my kids. He was loading for Steel Challenger or Rimfire race guns or something like that, and that he did it, and his finger was not on the trigger, not even close. I had footage of it and everything. Yeah.
The guy was trying to clear a malfunction, and like his right hand's occupied, right? Like, it wasn't that. So it was very strange. I think the first time I've ever seen a gun run away like that. Fortunately, I cleaned my SKSs, so that never happened to me, which is a
common. Keep the welders away from them.
Don't have a welder. Don't know how to weld.
You don't Chinese need city boy. Maybe weld and a Dremel. You can do everything.
Yeah. Not again.
Another few from Tony. AR-9 buffers are usually even longer because the cartridge is shorter. Actually, I haven't even pulled the buffer out of my PCC to see what they put in there.
Oh, you want it to cycle a little bit better. Try put a 308 buffer in there, Kyle. See what that does for it.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah.
Do you have a side charger on it?
No, I don't have a side charger. Well, no option for a side charger.
Run whatever you want to.
I want to tame it down. That recoil impulse is brutal. The scenario is what I love about IDPA. It adds a layer of fun to it for me. And then guaranteed door prize. That's nice. So those are from, a few more from Tony here.
I like random prizes.
Yeah, and I like random's
scenarios.
Not bad.
Some scenarios. So I'd say like, for a match, you need to have enough pure stages that aren't, too random, but scenarios are fun. They add that a little bit of a mix, a little bit of spice of life in there.
Yeah, it depends what you're going for. Would you consider time to be an imperial measurement? Ain't no 100 seconds in a minute.
I was talking about MOA versus MRAD, which I did more research on. That MRAD is the SI unit, or the metric, the scientific.
Yeah, the metric SI is your imperial.
But MOA, which is derived from degrees, is a SI accepted unit. So it's not on the evil side. It's like the neutral side. Anyway, it's a whole thing. I just understand it better just because degrees. Like, I don't want my circles to be too pi. That whole thing is crazy. I didn't do too good in that in high school. So,
and then the FG-42-9 is a restricted rifle. Who wants a 16-inch restricted rifle?
Valid. Not valid to me, but valid.
I might have one of those.
Yeah.
Hey, we got a bunch here from Eddie. People are getting their Tony, I don't read the sub comments as the comments goes down, just the base one. People are getting their RPALs now, so they'll be ready in a year or so after a crappy Turdish government gets the boot. Lots of proper sling hardware available at Ammo Gurand.
But they don't ship to Canada. Oh, but, no.
But you
are they ITAR though?
They don't sling hardware. There should be better not ITAR sling hardware.
Yeah, send it to Kyle.
I might have talked to Eddie about these.
Yeah,
I might have already talked to him about it.
New powder storage requirements are just another liberal tactic. They tightened them back up around 2005 when they were last in power as well. They don't want you to be able to easily understand the regulations. This way they can nail you with another charge at their convenience. I'd like to see the evidence to justify these new regulations. That's a funny thing. There's no evidence for any of their new regulations, powder or otherwise.
Or the name ban, or anyway. Just like there's, just from my limited shooting career here, just like there's, like Rod has said before, there is no rhyme and reason. This semi-auto 5.56 can be non-restricted, restricted, and prohibited at the same time. It doesn't matter.
A couple double comments here because I think Eddie thought his was getting deleted. Another one from Tony. Yes, the K9 chamber has been cleaned. It does it with factory ammo. I'm thinking if the recoil spring is worn or something. I will attach a photo in the next email.
Oops. Well, maybe
we will await for that email.
The recoil spring won't make that much of a difference to the like the time in, it dwells in blowback. The weight of the bolt and the buffer, that'll make a big difference. And then your ammo dirtiness will.
Yeah.
Not customizable on a K9. Big docking point for that. It's using a proprietary buffer ahead. And it's not standard on the back. And your bolt is just your bolt. So maybe it's because the bolt is wearing and it's losing enough weight. I don't think so, though.
Should make a big difference. Did you weigh the whole thing again? I thought you did, right?
No, I never did. I weighed the whole thing.
Weigh the bolt and the bolt buffer. You're aiming for around a pound and a half unless you're doing some space magic. Like the Ruger PC carbine uses a sliding tungsten weight, like a dead blow weight. So it can get away with a lighter weight than most can. But otherwise, you need about a pound and a half for a 9mm straight blowback.
The buffer won't came out the AR way. You have to take the buffer tube off.
Oh.
Because it's captive by the lower receiver on the inside. So it won't punch through. So you have to take the whole tube off to do that. I might add one day. We'll see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Up to you.
Okay. CCFR TV comments a heart on fire. So they must have liked that episode. And then we got Tony. Correct player was working. It has a start delay, though. And got it figured out. So it was going tonight and should have been pretty much right on time tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And then our last, two more comments here. Henry Nelson. Unfortunately, Tenda no longer ships powder. If I recall correctly, it's only for in-store purchase.
That is correct. Last time I checked, which is within this year, they still do sell and ship primer, though. So you can enjoy your free shipping on your primers.
Okay. And then Brett says, so you're saying I shouldn't store my powder in the mechanical room beside my gas water heater? I was saying store on top of your furnace so that it's nice and toasty warm.
Dry.
Yeah.
For the optimum ignition performance, yes.
Yeah, keep that humidity down. And
I like to put mine on top of my washing machine so it like tumbles it.
Well, well packed.
Yeah.
You just put all your cartridges there and fill them up, run a load, top it up.
It's not that. I put them in the dry tumbler and I just let them go for a week just to really shine them up.
Oh, we've had a couple of tumblers running for the last couple of days down in the workshop. Me and my roommate reload, so there's always one of us making stuff.
Nice.
And that is it for YouTube comments.
Listeners, please know, we're Slamfire Radio, not Canadian Reload Podcast, so do not listen to our reloading tips. It's bad. Don't go do it.
Do we have anything from the Cabela's link?
Nope.
I mean, one of those days, I'm going to put it back up.
Yep.
Yeah.
We've been talking about it for like a month now. Nothing has happened.
More than a month.
Yeah, it's listed March. It's due in April. Yeah. All right. I guess then thanks to our supporters on Patreon and Player. If you'd like to support us on Player/Patreon, you can email the show at slamfireradio@gmail.com.
Yeah. Love to hear from you.
And finally, shout outs. You want to start with Adriel?
Sure. Yeah. Those thanks to everyone for submitting hosting applications. Even the guys that we didn't choose for permanent hosts, like we mentioned in the email, always welcome to have you guys on. If you have a topic, come on. We're always looking for something to talk about. So, you know, we're 560 episodes in. It's always nice when someone else has something interesting to talk about that we haven't covered before.
All right, Kelly, what about you?
I'd like to say thank you to the host clubs that I was at this past weekend. So Georgian Bay Hunters Anglers and the Huronia Handgun Club. Thanks to Jared Daly, who helped us out and was on site both days. It was a long, hot day or a weekend for him. It was awesome to see him, as well as Jay, one of our previous guests. He was on the line as well. And he actually, no, he wasn't on. Well, he was. He shot a target. However, he stepped off the line and helped with volunteering. So everybody who came out to help as RSOs, and then, yeah, really fun time. So I wanted to thank them. And thank you guys. Thanks to Dustin and Tony for coming on tonight and joining the crew. Super excited to see everybody. It's nice to see some other faces other than Adriel. Kyle, no.
We're definitely not DEI hires at all. Yeah. I'm kidding. Yeah. It's going to be nice.
Yeah.
All right, Kyle, you're next.
Well, I'd like to echo Adriel's shout out to you guys and the other applicants for applying, and congratulations to the both of you for making it. I'm looking forward to the future episodes with you guys. And I'd like to shout out the Roswell crew. I was a late registration, like Thursday, Friday-ish, and there was only like 4 people registered for the match, but they were going to put the match on anyways, and we ended up having like a dozen people. It's summertime, last weekend before school goes back in kind of thing, so... Yeah, but shout out to those guys for the fun match and just making things happen.
Sweet.
All right, Tony, your turn.
Thank you to the Sunfire crew for bringing me on. That'll be awesome. And thank you to the viewers who voted for me. I don't know if you're going to enjoy the long term. I don't think it's going to be a good effect. Anyway, and my last shout out will go to Prophet River for for helping me pick up my mate's stuff. Somehow I had 2 names for me to pick up and I didn't buy anything myself, but definitely check them out for anything unique. For example, Malaga Schoenherr, Carmo dyes, they have interesting dyes, accessories, things like that.
Yeah, the good cuts.
Is it annual or is it biannual Vortex Open Box sale, which is pretty hot. You gotta be on top of it clicking.
Mm-hmm.
Is it biannual?
I thought so, but I don't know. I think Sunfire only introduced me to it twice, so which is 2 years I've been listening, so I thought it's an annual thing.
Might be annual.
Hmm. Could be.
I'll pass it back to Dustin again.
All right. Well, yeah, I would also like to thank everybody that wanted me here. Thank you guys for having me, because you've had me on a couple of times. I love this show. I'm excited to get to be a part of it a little bit more often, because I've been listening to it for a long time. And I think, you know, the fact that y'all are 566 episodes in says something. That's pretty huge. Great viewer base. And just shout out to everybody that's listening and to our, like, community as a whole, that even through all of this turmoil in the last few years has grown. And that also says something. And we just got to keep trucking up.
Yeah.
Imagine how good it's going to be in the future.
Oh,
yeah.
It's gonna be
but then no one will pay attention to it anymore. It's like, life is good.
Good.
No, everyone will, Tony. They'll be buying new handguns. They'll be like, what am I going to even do with this thing? There's a thing called 3-gun. An AR. What can I even do with an AR-15?
You get the simplified classification system you can hunt with her. That's...
Yeah.
You're asking for too much.
Don't tease me with that.
All right. Is that all? Are we at the sign off?
Yep.
Wonderful. Well, in that case, everybody join our Discord server. Watch us on Facebook, YouTube, and Player. Please join the CCFR, and we will all see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
Good night, Kelly.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.